very well for a number of years. On my left here, Mike Hansen has been on the board for two full terms and a part of another term. He fulfilled another commitment, and Mike has been invaluable to this board. He's got a servant's heart. He truly cares about the blind in Nebraska. He's represented the NFB and their interests well. What I'll always remember about Mike is how instrumental he was in leading the search for the new executive director. And I don't know that we could have done that without his leadership and effort on that. So thank you, Mike. And then Chad on my right, he's been on the board one term. And, you know, every time he came to a board meeting, he had to travel across the state. And that was, for many people, that's a hardship. So he definitely represented the interests of all blind people, but, you know, especially the Western Nebraska. And he's just done a great job, and we're going to miss him and Mike so much. To kind of a token appreciation to what they meant to the board and the blind in Nebraska, I can speak as a blind person. They both have served the blind well. We've got a commemorative kind of cookie. It's a large cookie. And Kathy, thank you, Kathy, for, you want to kind of just give an audio description of what that cookie looks like?
It's a large 12-inch chocolate chip cookie, and it's got nice decorated orange frosting around the outside, and it says, Mike and Chad, thank you for your service, and CBVI.
And thank you. And then also, we have kind of a certificate of appreciation, and Carlos, can you read that, or Kathy? Okay.
We have a certificate of appreciation presented in gratitude to Mike Hansen. The Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired would like to thank you for your dedication, service, and support as a NCBVI commissioner. We appreciate your outstanding community service and your efforts and participation in helping us support blind Nebraskans. And your term was September 25th, 2009 through December 31st, 2019. And it's signed by our director, Carlos Servan.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And we have the same certificate for Chad Bell. It reads exactly the same. Certificate of appreciation presented in gratitude to Chad Bell. The Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired would like to thank you for your dedication, service, and support as a NCBVI commissioner. We appreciate your outstanding community service and your efforts and participation in helping us help support blind Nebraskans. And your term was January 1st, 2016 through December 31st, 2019. And it's signed by our executive director, Carter Savant.
Thank you. That's like a part-timer compared to Mike's term, but thanks.
Well, Carlos, would you like to say anything?
Yeah,
please. Hey, can you pass that over?
Sure. Well, I want to thank both of you as a director, but also as a blind consumer. Before I became executive director, I was deputy director, so I was thinking about that when I mentioned my name earlier, and observe your contribution to the blind of Nebraska. And as a director, I reflect upon your job. You know, we are one of the best agencies in the nation. Yeah, our staff members do work hard, but the part that you did for this board and give the direction to the agency, the tough questions you ask, the interest you show, it just motivates all of us, me and the staff members of the commission. So We thank you. We also know you are blind yourself. You have passion for serving the blind. And even though you are not on the board, I'm sure you're going to continue helping both blind consumers in general and the commission. We hope to continue being in touch. Thank you both. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, Mike, you got any final thoughts before we end the meeting? Well, we're not going to end the meeting, but.
Just that I was thinking about the partial term I filled out, and there was somebody in the state that made some negative comments to me one time about that, and said, why does the NFB have so much trouble keeping a board member? And made him publicly a couple times, and I had a very easy answer for him, and it was because the people who had filled that position before me had some wonderful opportunities as a blind person that kept them from fulfilling the term. It wasn't that they didn't want to serve anymore, but opportunities in life prevented them from doing so, and it was actually to the benefit of the agency. A lot of the great things that we heard about the agency today and that were going on were because of the efforts of Carol Jenkins, and she was one of the people who's were part of that partial term that I filled out. So between her and Wes Majerus, lots of great things happened, and because they went on to become commission employees, they of course were ineligible to finish serving out that term. But it's been a wonderful 10 years, and all you have to do is ask, and I'd be happy to assist with anything. And of course, I'll try to do my best to stay in touch with what the board's up to and how the commission is going.
Well, we're counting on that. We're counting on that. Chad?
Yeah, sure.
Pass that over to Chad.
Well, first of all, nothing to take away from you, Mark, but when Mike was at the helm as the board up here, he made our jobs easy. Everybody else is on the board. He made it easy for us because he was such an awesome leader and very, very instrumental in doing the search for our new director, Carlos, and stuff like that. So thanks to him for that. And, you know, I guess I'm proud to say that I am a product of the commission from back in 95 when I went back through there then, you know, and so when it come up time to for me to get the chance to be a board member, I felt it was my opportunity to pay back, and I'd love to do another term, but my boys are the number one priority, and they're so busy now and chasing, and you know, and just like Mark said, you know, every time I come to a meeting, you know, it's only 400 miles one way to Omaha, so you know, that gets taxing. I'm not lying. I'm not gonna miss coming to Omaha. I probably won't be back here for a few years. But you know, just thanks to everybody, and thanks for the opportunity. And I hope we can get some other representatives from out west, so we're not forgotten way out there, because there is a need for our services out there too. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad.
True.
There you go.
All right, well, we certainly are going to miss you, and I think the legacy will continue on as we continue to have an outstanding state agency that serves the blind well. So, thank you. All right, well, back to the agenda. We got the next item on the agenda is the Newsline update. Mike, I wanted to kind of pass this over to you because you've done had some great discussions with the Newsline coordinator, and I just thought I'd let you share it.
Sure.
So every quarter, the Newsline coordinator is asked, well, we ask the Newsline coordinator every quarter to send us a report of a summary update of what's been happening with the service in the state of Nebraska, give us some metrics. So we see what's been occurring, how the service has been being used, and of course give us any updates of new features or maybe problems that have occurred and so on. The newsline coordinators have done a great job of that in the past. When Kimberly Shernorth took over this summer as the newsline coordinator, she went ahead and submitted the first report the way the newsline coordinators have been doing in the past. And then about a month ago, she contacted me privately and was like, "Can I change the format of the report?" Well, absolutely you can. Yeah. And when you see the report in the minutes of today's meeting, you'll see the format has dramatically changed, and I think there are more changes to come yet. In the past, it was more of a statistics were written into the narrative of paragraphs of the report, and it was a little tough to follow. She's broken that out now so that the statistics are in a table format and complete. We would go months where certain statistics were given and certain ones were not, and so everything is complete now. She is working to include some additional stats just so that everything is covered and all the numbers add up properly from an accounting standpoint. And I think that it'll change a little bit more so that there'll be some standard sections of the report so that you'll see, you know, a section for any issues that have come up or new features and so on. So it'll be very easy to read going forward in the future. I'm also encouraging her to take those statistics that she's gathering and to start keeping them archived for annual reports. So she would keep a spreadsheet of a year's worth of statistics at a time and can easily go back and do give us some answers as far as, you know, how does this compare to this time last year or this year to last year's final summaries, those types of things. So she's really taking this part of it by the horns and making some improvements upon what we've seen in the past. And it'll help her, I think, to know what areas that she needs to work on, since the statistics will be a little easier to read and for her also, she can see where she needs to spend some of her time as the newsline coordinator. So the other thing that I would add is personally, I've reached out to the NFB of the NFB's national headquarters regarding the statistics that they make available, and they certainly emphasize usage over subscriber count. Their metrics in how thorough they are lean a lot more to being able to give usage information like number of downloads, number of minutes listened, those types of things, versus number of subscribers or number of unique subscribers using the service per month, those types of things. And I've started a conversation with Baltimore about that, and hopefully we can make some changes there so that we can see some more accurate numbers in the subscriber, in the number of subscribers statistic, and again also be able to help Kimberly and other newsline coordinators across the country be able to have better access to their members. One of the things that we were talking about in that conversation is updating user contact information so that the coordinators across the country have better means of being able to contact users that might potentially be having problems. That information is given once when they sign up and it's never maintained after that. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for your work. I'll have to say, I read the reports every quarter. I'm the report I just saw, I felt like I knew more about Newsline than I ever did before, and I had a better appreciation for the numbers. And you know, the reason you do reports is to gauge where you're at and to have an idea where we need to go. And you know, we had a great presentation from Radio Talking Book, and we got Newsline. These are two valuable resources for the blind in Nebraska. You know, I'm walking away thinking I need to do a better job just as a blind person, as an ACB designee, to go out and promote that. So does anybody have any comments about the Newsline report, Board?
Nope.
It was more interesting because I got to see, how many more to do who's taking a look at the World Herald or some of the magazines I like to read. So it just broke down with some of those specifics, which I thought was interesting. So that was my big thing.
All right. Well, how about our next item on the agenda is the Client Assistant Program, otherwise known as CAP Complaints. Carlos, you got any?
Yep.
Here you go.
Yeah, there are a couple of ongoing ones. One is a client who has been with us for a long time, and we feel like we pay more than what we were supposed to for the number of credits. We said we will pay for a certain number of credits for a degree, what the degree requires. We already pay more than that, and she's arguing that we need to continue paying. So that's one. The other one is a new one. The client or doesn't even sign the IP yet, but wants to have all the equipment, and we say no, we have to have a IP. But those are the two ones that there might be another one about a self-employment one, but hasn't come official yet. Anything that I'm forgetting or that you guys got from Jerry? Those are the only things I remember.
Have they both been resolved? Are they still pending?
They're still pending.
Okay. Yeah. All right, moving forward, we're doing some new business now. The next item on the agenda has to do with a discussion about the question why commissioners' meetings are on the weekends and not during the week. And this came about because at the last meeting in August, someone posed that question, why don't you have meetings on Fridays once in a while? And we had some good discussion, and I encouraged the board members to think about that a little bit and come back. And it's also kind of coincides with, we're gonna talk about upcoming dates and topics. And you know, if we decided to do something, maybe we could roll that into the the calendar for the next year. So does anybody on the board like to share what they believe is best for the statewide agency in regards to this question?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, go. Pass it over to Chad.
Okay, Chad.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to state that, you know, I'm going to be coming off the board, so it's not really going to affect me one way or the other. But if I had to come, like, say, on a Friday or a Thursday, you know, I already had to take off work of Friday to get here last night to be able to do the board meeting today. So for me personally, that's missing one day of employment. And, you know, this gig doesn't pay that well to cover my lost wages. So, that's just one thing that I want to reiterate, that if, you know, you've got people coming clear across the state, if it's the meeting's going to be on a Friday or even on a Wednesday, you know, that it takes 3 days. Mm-hmm. And unless you've got a couple different drivers that can drive it, you know, and we've tried that before, leaving here one day, you know, after the meeting and driving all the way back home, and then my wife said we're never doing that again. So we, you know, we have to stay, you know, in Kearney or sometimes Lincoln. Like today we're going to stay in Lincoln again tonight and then get fresh start first thing tomorrow morning. So that's just one thing to keep in mind as you guys are doing this, that if you do get somebody from back west that is employed, you know, they're going to have to miss extra work days. As if, you know, same with you guys, if you do have a meeting out there on that end of the state and you don't have it on a Saturday, you know, then, and for other people too coming to the meetings, you know, I don't know that anybody's jobs are that flexible that they could, you know, leave for an afternoon without taking time off or whatever, you know, to go to a meeting on a Friday or Thursday or whatever. So that's just my two cents. Becky, you have anything? Because you're also another one that has to travel always.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with my service unit, we're given so many days of professional leave, but there are other things in my profession that I need to gain knowledge on as well. So it's just kind of hard to think about using a professional day, especially if we're able to meet on the weekends. So I guess that's my two cents worth.
Okay.
I got something about it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So one of my thoughts was really if we were wanting to make a big push to get the business community to become partners, I guess, that I could see, you know, having some business people on our board. Otherwise, I don't see that it would be a real big change just to do it, unless we had a really big plan, like partnerships with businesses. If that would work better for businesses, then it would make sense. Though it would, like, I'd be... Well, pluses and minuses all around, but that would just be, if that plus was worth it, then I could see doing it. That's just my thought at this time.
Okay, Mike? Yeah.
I believe the person, in talking with the at the last meeting with the person who brought this topic up, it was partially in regards to the number of the public that are here with us in present, but that is, it's a very small number. Usually, in a lot of cases, it's zero, or it's just the people that were coming to do the focus topic, maybe a staff member or two outside of those that are required to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And their thought was is that more staff might attend if it was during the week. I spoke to Kat on the way up here today. She's required to be here, I believe. Carlos and Kathy, I know, are. It's very helpful when Kat is here, and you know, that I would think that she could take some flex time or something like that to help offset that. But you know, it doesn't always work with her workload and salaried staff. Sometimes we get the shaft a little bit because sometimes what is typically a 40-hour work week, sometimes the year is always a 50-hour work week or more. So I don't know if with other staff members if that would make a difference, if that would allow them to come or not. I like the idea of making the board accessible to our staff. I think that's important. Over the years, we had conversations about where we should meet, and we used to rotate the meeting all over the place to make it accessible to the public. Well, the public wasn't coming, and nor were we being asked to come somewhere specific. And so at that point, it's like, well, let's rotate the meeting to where we have offices, where we have staff members. That way we made sure that we were accessible to our staff. So I think that should play in to when we meet as well. But I completely hear what Becky and Chad are saying about being available. I would also have to take vacation time to participate if it was in the middle of the week. And while that would be easy when the meetings are in Lincoln or Omaha, for me, when we did choose to go out west, that might be a little more difficult. Something that we've started to do in the last 2 years to help with the transportation is by making use of video conferencing. But we've been, we've had to do it within the confines of what's allowed by the Open Meeting Act in the state of Nebraska. And I think that there's something there that we maybe need to ask our friends in the ACB and the NFB to maybe work with the state government a little bit to change is, why is there a limitation to on how many meetings we're allowed to use video conferencing for when we have such a vast state like this? Mm-hmm. If we could, when you read the Open Meeting Act, there are a lot of special cases. These types of boards are allowed to use video conferencing, but these types of boards, or these types of boards are only allowed to use video conferencing, while these other types of boards can use video conferencing and audio conferencing. The, you know, then there's different regulations about how often they can use them and so on. There's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of groups that went in and specifically asked for special circumstances. I would urge the NFB and the ACB to go and maybe start conversations with the unicameral about looking at those requirements again and potentially expanding them so that we could freely make use of video conferencing mm-hmm. all year long. Mm-hmm. Not only would that make it easier for our commission board members to attend, but the other great thing that that does is it makes more venues available for the public to attend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because one of the rules in the Open Meeting Act is anywhere you're going to have remote participation by the public, you have to have a commissioner there, and vice versa. If you're going to have a commissioner participating remotely, then the public has to be able to attend from that location as well. So in the past, when Chad has traveled out to Scotts Bluff, or when Becky has traveled down to Norfolk and participated remotely, those have then been other locations where the public could go to as well to participate. And so I think we're doing a service to the state by having those video conferencing locations, because it makes it easier on our commission board, but also opens the meetings up more to the people that we're serving.
Thank you, Mike.
And a side note, it saves the commission money on
travel.
There you go.
Travel, mileage, yeah. Motels.
Well, my 2 cents worth, if you were to talk to the other VR agency, I think typically they meet on Fridays, right? Probably don't have anybody from the public in attendance, or very few. Mm-hmm. What makes the Nebraska Commission for Blind and Visually Impaired consumer-driven organization is we do, there are times we have a lot of consumers here, times like today we don't. I think when we don't have a lot of public here, that's probably a sign that things are probably okay, and that's good. And also there was a football game today, but the other thing that we value is we like it when blind people work, and we want as many people that are blind working. Now, that's not to say some blind people work non-traditional hours, but I know it's an extra burden for like the staff to come, and we already know that you work above and beyond the call of duty. So I guess I'm going to apologize to the staff and say I support keeping the meetings on Saturdays, and I would encourage you, if you need to get some comp time during the week or something to offset your weekends, if that'll allow to do that. But I think we got a kind of a consensus here. Unless anybody's got an agenda to propose, we'll just...
I would have one question.
Oh, sure.
Or question, comment, whatever. And maybe this is something that needs to... I know we're going to talk about meeting dates and times here as our next agenda item. And there's a comment about leaving that open for the new board members. So we're going to need to set a time for our January meeting, or February meeting, for sure. But maybe the rest of the year will be tentative a little bit.
Okay.
But what I'm wanting to bring up is that possibly we pick one meeting, depending on how the other board, the new board members feel. Perhaps you pick one meeting a year, if you wanted to do the due diligence of having of trying this out once. Maybe pick a summer meeting,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would
where
work.
it would be a little less effective or impacting to those who work, not for everybody, but for those who work in the education field anyway, mm-hmm. That they could come down to Lincoln in the middle of the week or Omaha or wherever the meeting is, and see if having a meeting in the middle of the week is impactful to to the public. Something to consider.
And that would be the July or August meeting.
Yeah,
obviously.
Right, and maybe you would pick the dates because of that. So we typically meet the first Saturday of August.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that has varied because of commitments of the board members, but for sure pick a time for that meeting that would be during the week, that would be before public school starts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So just a thought.
I like that idea.